Dave and Darren's top five things. Absolutely thrilled to be here with another installment of the Top Five Things podcast. A review, a best of, a sampling, a flight, if you'll have it, of the top five things that happen on our morning show, which is heard weekday mornings on Planet 93.9. My name is Dave, and this is my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello. Yeah, if you are a patron to the podcast, then we have a relatively new one up available for you. It is our opening day spooktacular, where you can listen to us watch baseball. It's maybe the best ever.
I have mixed feelings about that one, but yeah.
Hit and miss, kind of like baseball.
Yeah, I guess I have mixed feelings about baseball this year as well. So.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
This particular podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. Galesburg's open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles.
Let's get into number one.
Number one.
Number one.
First weekend of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
How is that all
going? Why would you bring that up?
Because I...
What a hurtful friend you are.
Because I didn't see
all... You know, I need to surround myself with people who will...
That aren't so toxic?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I need to make better choices as to who I forge 17-year partnerships with.
Too late for that now.
Oh, boy.
No, I just didn't catch up with everything. I saw that the Red Sox had their, what was it, their worst home opening ever?
Worst home opener since 1948 is what I thought I read. But yeah, it's not going great in Boston. There was a really, really funny meme where one of the restaurants there in Boston has a deal where kids eat free when the Red Sox win.
And the
headline I read was, kids are going hungry in Boston. Children are starving in Boston. So, yeah, it's...
Not that they always... Is that promotion when they're playing at home?
I'm not aware what the promotion is, Darren. I just know that they have a banner there at Fenway that says, kids eat free.
And we're only talking about little kids.
But I'm a kid at heart.
None of you garbage disposals.
I don't have my ID with me. When the Red Sox win, kids eat free the following day at all New England 99 restaurants. Come anytime and get a free kids meal with the purchase of one adult meal.
Uh-huh.
It's also good on takeout. What are 99 restaurants?
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, I haven't either. They're all over the Massachusetts there, it seems like. I don't know anything about it. There's a horseshoe in the number 99. Well, that looks delightful. Look at that. It's some sort of chicken pot pie.
It's like a chicken pot pie calzone.
Oh, that looks fantastic.
Wait a minute. Is that in a dish?
Yeah, it's like baked into the dish.
All right. Well,
it's
then that would be a chicken pot pie.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Although they probably have chowder pot pies, don't they?
Chowder?
Or chowder pot pies.
Chowder? Kids, don't put anything in your mouth that's called chowder.
See, that's my very...
Believe me, I got burnt once.
That's my thick New England accent coming through.
They don't say chowder. No one...
They do in parts of Maine.
No, okay.
A very small part of Maine.
I'm looking here at the... it's a New England thing. It's all up and down... Rhode Island, Vermont.
Constance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not mad at this menu. This looks fantastic.
That chowder, I apologize, is more of a Nova Scotia thing.
Ah. Well, that makes...
You wouldn't understand.
Okay. I don't understand
it's,
your...
It's such a thick accent.
Chowder.
Although I'm guessing that's a name that gets thrown around.
You know there are a few things that I enjoy more than drama that does not directly affect me. When there's
uncomfortable drama.
Yeah, yeah, uncomfortable drama. When that's in my own life, like when I am faced with uncomfortable drama in my own life, my response is to shut down. I just I can't deal with this. No, I just, it's like a switch gets turned off and I just turn myself off. But when it's someone else's drama and it doesn't affect me, oh, that's as delicious as a bowl of New England choder.
You know what? Let me pull up a chair and watch this, because this doesn't involve me, but I want to hear it all.
This is from that subreddit where people wonder if they're in the wrong, and it involves Easter egg hunts. Am I the jerk for making my neighbor remove the eggs he put in my yard for an Easter egg hunt? Since Wednesday, my neighbor asked if he could hide eggs in my yard as part of an Easter egg hunt they wanted to do for the kids coming to their barbecue. Our yards are right next to each other, with only the pavement dividing it, no fence, which I'm thinking about setting up after what happened. He asked three times, and each time I said no, because I don't like the idea of a bunch of little kids I don't know coming into my yard.
Yeah.
Besides, he wanted to hide most of the eggs in my garden, and I wouldn't trust a six-year-old not to step on my flowers or knock over a pot. Well, he's been mad since I repeatedly said no and explained why. Their yard is just as big as mine. I don't see why they needed my space too. Yesterday I was having some car trouble, so I took it to my friend's, who's a mechanic, not getting it back until Tuesday. So I guess because my car wasn't in my driveway, they assumed I wasn't home.
He's not there. Let's do this.
In the morning, I'm doing work in my basement and I hear footsteps nearby. I check my security cam and I see my neighbor walking back to his house from my yard. Right away, I go outside to confront him, and he looked panicked. Honestly, no idea why the hell he thought it was a good idea to do that. Like, even if I wasn't home at the time, what had made him think that I wouldn't get there, say, when the kids were in my yard? I was so mad, he told me, please, let them do this, because the eggs were already spread out, and his family was going to be home soon. At that moment, I was seriously mad, so I told him, look, you either take the eggs back or I will throw them out myself. Then he got mad and was calling me names under his breath, but he picked them up and left. I'm going to check out my yard to make sure he got all of them. And his wife keeps giving me dirty looks, too, while he's talking to her. They had their little party and their Easter egg hunt in their own yard. I was out there just now watering my plants, and they were cleaning up. Neighbor's still mad at me. He told me he hopes I'm happy with what I did. Right now that I'm more calm and not mad at him anymore, I'm kind of wondering if I was the jerk for making him pick up the eggs and not letting him use my yard. Honestly, I was just ticked off in the moment that he went in my yard after I told him three times no, so I'm not sure.
What's your opinion?
Stay in your own yard.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
I mean, you were told three times.
Yes. You asked, I said no. You asked again, I said no. If you would have asked me a third time if you would have had an Easter egg hunt in my yard, I don't know if I would have dealt with that okay.
You're asking a third time. I've told you, I just don't think this is the best idea.
No. Have the Easter egg hunt in your own yard. Oh, it doesn't look like he's home. We could get this done. Let's knock this out, everybody.
Go!
No one gets to use your property except for you.
Cue the children.
Right. If a kid trips and falls in your backyard running around with an egg, or, you know, chokes to death on a plastic egg or some sort of Easter mishap, then that's your problem. I just think it's hilarious that somebody was so hell-bent on having an Easter egg hunt.
How do you not have a fence?
Get a fence. That would be the other takeaway from this. Big fence.
They call this one? All right, kids. You've got 2 minutes to find the eggs. Lock and load. They call this one the dangerous game.
Two. Steel worker in China lost some money on the stock market. And I guess he lost like $9,000 in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Wang Long, 34-year-old worker at a steel plant in Inner Mongolia, the good side, worked at the state-owned Baotou Steel Company, was working the night shift last week when he went missing. They get all the workers together and they say, we got to find Wang Long. Where is he? He was here and now he's missing. and they couldn't find him. It was as if he disappeared without a trace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, he was despondent over the fact that he lost $9,000 on the stock market.
He couldn't stop talking about it.
Well, I imagine, right?
Couldn't stop thinking about it as well.
Wow, that's a lot of money to lose, yes. So they organize a search for him, and they can't find him until they take a look at the surveillance video, and then they find Wang. Again, he worked at a steel.
Now, typically with a stock market,
yeah,
there's an ebb and flow.
Yes.
So it's quite possible that money could make its way back into his account.
See, I don't know how much this cat had in the stock market, but he got to a point where he thought, well, that's it, I'm done. So they took a look at the surveillance footage, and they found him. He jumped into the furnace containing the molten steel.
Wow.
He decided, that's it, I'm done, I'm checking out. It's 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit inside the molten steel. In the surveillance video, you see Wang standing in front of the glowing red furnace. He takes his gloves off.
Not going to need these. These were company issued.
I'd be ashamed to waste these gloves. Then he removes his safety helmet. I don't need this. He hesitates for a few minutes, and then he jumps in, and he just disappears instantly.
Clearly.
Just gone. Wang was a longtime stock and futures investor, and he lost more than 60,000 yuan, which works out to about $9,100 American. That's what he lost the day of his death. Company statement here says it's suspected that his suicide was related to the large amount of losses and that he could not repay his heavy debts. We feel deeply sorry for his death. We are proactively appeasing the emotions of his family and carrying out psychological guidance for our workers. Police ruling out murder and have determined the cause of death to be a suicide. There was a story last year where another Chinese guy, now he lost over $1 million yuan, which would be about 152 grand. And he jumped from a high-rise building. Well, I mean, jumping off of a high-rise because you lose money in the stock market, that's been done before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've been doing that since the old roaring 20s. But to jump into molten steel, a molten steel furnace, that's...
No cleanup necessary.
Well, I wonder, do they have to throw that steel out?
That batch of steel?
Yeah, because there's like dude in there? Or are you just instantly just gone? I mean...
I don't think that you're going to be much of a...
You wouldn't feel much of it, right? Like, you wouldn't
big
be...
flash.
You're not flopping around in there like
you sure?
Like T2, the Terminator, right?
I don't really want to find out.
No. My guess is that he didn't suffer, other than for, you know...
The heat, my God, the heat.
Right. It's not the humidity so much as it is... The searing heat of jumping into molten steel because you lost some money on the stock market.
You wouldn't think that would screw up the steel much.
Yeah, I don't know that I feel comfortable knowing that the steel in my facility was...
You see that beam right there?
That's Wang.
And he'll be there a long time.
Wang. Plus, you know, I mean, just the superstitions of having somebody who had met with such an untimely... gruesome end as a result of, you know, such misfortune. It's not great for your feng shui when you got a, you know, Wang cooked into the beam of your house. I'm guessing. I don't know, but I'm guessing. We started watching this new show on HGTV where this, it's in the Pacific Northwest. I think the show's called Unsellable Houses. And the premise of the show is driving me crazy to the point where I can't enjoy it. There are these twins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
always with the twins.
It's always twins on
always
that channel.
Always with the twins.
The twist here is these are women, not men. And what these twins do is they find houses that people cannot sell, all right? Then they go and they visit and they say, here's why you can't sell it. Here's all the things that you've done wrong. And then they say, here's what we're willing to do. We we'll renovate this place. And then we will, you can't, like, let's say you're trying to sell your house for 200 grand. And you can't sell your house for 200
grand. Because there was a poltergeist.
Well, it's just, a lot of times it's just, you know, terrible layout or whatever. Everything's dated. These two sisters come in and they say, okay, you can't sell the house for 200 grand. We'll come in, we'll do 50 grand worth of renovation. We think we can get 280 grand for the house that you can't sell for 200. And after renovation costs, whatever the profit is, we'll split with the homeowner 50-50. And now, I would think it would just make more sense for these sisters to buy the house at 200 grand, do the renovation, and keep all of the profit.
But that's no show.
But I guess that's not a show. Yeah.
And we've got to get the exorcist involved.
Well, that's the thing. And we're watching this, and I'm like, why don't they just flip the house themselves? And my wife's like, it's a TV show. I'm like, well, no, this is driving me crazy. These women are throwing money away.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're being nice, and you're rewarding people for being failures on this show.
I'd like to see you out front with a picket sign protesting the show. And then you, and they've noticed that you're out there, you're out there protesting the show. And if you look close, your car, which is right there up by the curb,
yeah,
also has some beaches closed signs as well.
Well,
once I'm done protesting the show, I'm going to go close a beach.
This is my problem. I'll watch the HGTV shows with my wife, and then I just get mad about something to the point where I ruin the show for her. And then I have to go somewhere else in the house. Like, okay, there's a show called Boise Boys. And what the Boise Boys do is they do renovations.
Are they twins as well?
No, I don't even think they're related.
But like there's the Doobie Brothers?
There's this episode where they buy this house and then they have to level it and then they build a brand new house. And the one guy is like, I'm the construction guy. I do all the building. And my friend here, he does more of the design stuff.
And he does all the embezzling.
And the design guy is like doing this house. And for some reason, they always have to have their kids involved in everything. Every one of these HGTV shows, it's like, and then we thought it'd be a good idea to have our kid help out.
Stop touching stuff.
Yeah, let your kids play. They don't need to be working on your stupid home projects. So anyway, they're building this house. And this guy, the design guy, is like, I have an idea for the house, what I want to do.
I know.
I'm gonna have custom neon put into the bedroom. This custom neon sign built into the wall, and it will say, love always. And I'm thinking, this guy is clearly, this is his house. Because you wouldn't put a custom neon sign in a home that you're building for a stranger, right?
No.
That doesn't make any sense. The expense alone of getting custom neon, I've looked into it, it's pricey. So I'm like, well, they're not going to sell this house. And then the twist at the end is, you know what? I love the house so much, I'm going to buy it.
You were looking
Well, of course, that was always the plan. How stupid do you think we are?
You were looking for custom neon for your house?
I was looking for custom neon for this place. I thought it'd be cool to have a Planet 93.9 neon sign in the studio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Or out front.
Out front would
out
be...
Out by the interstate.
That'd be even better.
Although
better.
Then they would know where we are, out here on the perimeter.
We don't want that. That's true. That was what ended up killing the project was... being where no one knows where we are.
Wait a minute. What am I doing here?
Yeah. No, I want people to know about the station, but also I don't want to draw attention to myself. This is a conundrum. Yeah, we're going to build this neon fixture into the wall. And then you're going to have strangers come? Nobody wants a that's a very personalized thing. Yeah,
What would be the cost to get rid of it?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Yeah, getting rid of it would probably be easier, but it just seems like a massive waste, unless... You were doing that because you knew all along that you were building the house for yourself. And they tried to make it seem like they accidentally bought the... They add all this unnecessary drama to these shows. And then I sit on the couch going, this is all HS. And then I have to leave the room.
Get out of here. I told you. You promised.
I don't mean to ruin HGTV.
Isn't it time for you to go to bed? It's 5:30. No, that's late enough. It's late enough for you. Go to bed.
You know she's right.
Number three.
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 I have a story here of a criminal where I'm not even mad. I'm more impressed than anything with this cat. Now, it's not going to top our favorite story of all time, which was last year, the fellow who managed to climb under a moving semi-truck that was filled with wine, crawled underneath while it was on the highway, right? Didn't he somehow
adhere himself to the bottom of it?
He conned the guy into pulling over, and then he climbed underneath, took his shirt off, and then unscrewed the cap at the bottom and just had gallons of wine flowing into his mouth while the semi was moving. That's the most impressive criminal of all time, uh-huh. Right? This is not quite at that level, but what could be? 23-year-old man suspected of stealing a Kansas Highway Patrol vehicle, leading officers on a chase with speeds topping 100 miles an hour. All of this while he was handcuffed behind his back. You steal a Kansas Highway Patrol vehicle and you're handcuffed behind your back doing 100 miles an hour.
So you're driving with your knees.
They're trying to figure out how Joshua D. Swartwout of Naples, Florida, managed to get behind the wheel of a patrol car and drive it for more than 30 miles without the use of his hands.
What? No big whoop.
So this is a Florida man story, but it takes place in Kansas.
Florida.
Usually they just stay down there in the peninsula. This is troubling. This is like when you hear that the murder hornets are in states other than Washington.
Yeah, I thought we kind of made that agreement, didn't we?
Keep
that
your crazy Florida man shenanigans down there.
Once you commit to Florida, you have to stay there.
Trooper Todd Heilman, a spokesman for the Kansas Highway Patrol, said that troopers arrested Swartwout. When they arrested him, they did not ask him how he managed to operate the vehicle. But Heilman says, as a high-speed pursuit driving instructor for 20 years, I can only assume he was using his knees. This happened This happened on Saturday as a Kansas Highway Patrol trooper was transporting Swartwout to a detention facility after he'd been arrested on suspicion of auto theft following an earlier pursuit. The patrol car was not equipped with a rear seat cage or partition, so he was being transported in the front seat of the car. While on the highway, Highway 25, which is in northwest Kansas, the trooper witnessed a serial motorcycle crash and pulled over to help, leaving this Swartwout alone in the patrol car. That seems like a mistake.
Yeah.
They say we normally wouldn't do this, but the trooper saw an accident occur right in front of him, and it was in a rural area. Being trained as a highway trooper, it's...
Now promise me, stay right there.
It's ingrained that you help. Oh, I promise. So while the trooper was assisting...
Nothing up my sleeve.
While the trooper was assisting the motorcycle crash victim, swore out...
And that's when you see him drive by.
Yes.
With a big smile on his face.
Later, losers. While the trooper...
Well, my day just got longer.
This is going to be paperwork I don't feel like filling out. Terrific.
So much for getting home early today.
Later, losers.
Hey, that's my car. While the trooper was assisting the crash victim, Swartwout, who was handcuffed behind his back, scooted over to the driver's seat and drove off.
Don't mind if I do.
The trooper immediately radioed for assistance. Troopers racing to the scene spotted the stolen patrol car headed south. The chase topped 100 miles an hour on a stretch that they say here is a narrow two-lane highway with ditches on both sides. The chase continued on to I-70
and headed west toward the Kansas-Colorado border. If I can just make it to the state line, I'm home free. If television has taught me anything, they can't get me. As the pursuit reached Edson, Kansas, which would be about 30 miles away from where he stole the car, the stolen patrol car ran out of gas. Oh, it was... You were so close. Oh, the suspect, who was still handcuffed behind his back, tried to flee on foot, but was quickly apprehended. Swartwout was examined by emergency medical services crew. They determined that he was not injured. He was then booked into the jail there in Sherman County without further incident. Again, I just think...
Do you guys take a Diners Club card?
It's impressive. It's impressive. Not as impressive as, of course, Gabriel Moreno. The guy who jumped onto a moving tanker truck. Dressed in his underpants, mind you. That was last year out in California. Climbed underneath the truck, unscrewed the valve, and drank as much wine as he could. 39-year-old Gabriel Moreno. They say 1,000 gallons of red wine was spilled on the freeway that day. That's like a superpower.
Yeah, I don't see how that doesn't take your head off.
If that was in a movie, you wouldn't believe it. This one, too. Driving 100 miles an hour with your knees in a stolen cop car that...
We haven't seen that in a Bond film?
Where he's driving with his hands handcuffed?
Maybe in this one.
Number four.
As I was making my way to the station this morning, right when I started my journey, and I was the only one on the road because, you know, it was middle of night, early in the morning, this possum, maybe it was an opossum, I can't be sure, but this possum came out of nowhere.
You think it was Irish?
I don't know. I didn't have a chance to have a dialogue with the creature, but I was driving and this thing came running out of nowhere, and I was able to put on the brakes and avoid. I mean, this thing looked like it was trying to go under my tire, like it had had enough. Maybe it lost a bunch of money on the possum stock market. I don't know. And then as I drove around and I looked to make sure that it was okay, it gave me a dirty look as if to say, you had one job, and that was to run me over. I'm glad I didn't, because it would have been traumatizing. You ever run over an animal unwittingly?
Yeah.
I had it once years ago on 15th Street in Davenport. I accidentally ran over a squirrel. I swerved to avoid it, and it was like when you're in the grocery store, and you move, and they move, and you're both moving the same way.
Mm-hmm.
When I swerved to avoid the squirrel, I ended up running it over. And I'm not kidding you. I was messed up about it for the better part of the day, and it wasn't at all helpful that the other squirrels in the trees started yelling at me. Like, they saw what I did, and they were making that noise. Like, they were, you know, calling me a murderer.
That Shatner thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was overcome with guilt for a while, and maybe that's why I, to this day, do my best to feed the squirrels whenever I can. But this possum, it was a similar situation, but instead of swerving to avoid it, I just applied the brakes, and then everything was fine.
But he gave you the old tanks for nothing.
Yeah, so maybe it was Irish.
What you have here is an opossum.
Right, it was an opossum. As I drove away, I heard the possum say,
"We're tanks for nothing!"
Oh, that's all I need.
From what I understand, you guys were both pretty keyed up.
Well, you know, listen, the good news is I don't have another creature's, you know, I didn't take a life this morning. So
that's all I need.
Right. I feel good about that. There's a story.
Is there something that you say when that happens?
When what happens?
When you miss an animal.
Well, thank God I didn't kill the possum.
No, but I was wondering, like, one of your rabbit type things.
No, I don't have any superstitions about it. It's not that I didn't want to run over the animal for any superstitious reasons. I just don't like the idea of...
No, I get it.
ending someone's existence.
You didn't hit a ghost, at least.
Right. There's a story of a Virginia school bus in the news this morning. A deer crashed through the windshield of the school bus and landed on a kid who was taking a nap on the way to school. This happened on Thursday, 6 o'clock in the morning.
That kid's not getting enough sleep at home.
Oh, I don't know. I would sleep on the bus on the way to school.
I never did that.
No?
No.
Yeah, I would.
How long a ride was your bus trip?
Oh, gosh, in high school, it was a good 20, 25-minute ride.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd have my Walkman on. I'd listen to XTC's English Settlement, and I'd wake up and be a couple songs into the album.
You're falling asleep to XTC? How dare you?
Oh, no. That was my go-to tape, man. That Melt the Guns, if you listen to it, like it's like, yeah, it'll lull you right out. Next thing you know, time to start high school again. The footage of this incident that happened on Thursday morning shows the bus when the deer crashes through the windshield on the opposite side from where the driver is seated, and it flips over a seating barrier to land on a student who was sleeping. The driver then opens the bus doors, and the deer runs right out. The student wasn't hurt, and the deer ran off and didn't appear to be injured. Not too bad. So the driver's being praised for having the wherewithal to get this live deer off of the bus.
Can I ask you a favor and be completely honest? Yeah. Do I smell like deer?
I feel gamey. I'm going to go to the nurse's office and see if maybe I can get a pass to go home. Not on the bus, though. It's going to be a while before I'm able to trust a school bus again.
I'm going to go lay down and have the nurse smell me.
Do I smell gamey to you? Watch this. Goes right in. Oh, gosh.
Oh,
and this,
it's brutal.
Yeah, yeah. It flies in.
Oh.
Lands like it's upside down when it lands on the kid. And the kid's like, what the hell's going on? The kid's got a mask on and a hoodie. And then, yeah, he opens the door and the deer just goes running right out. So the deer's going to be okay. The kid's going to be okay. But I don't know how you sleep on a bus again. This kid's going to have a problem like sleeping on planes at some point in his life. Can you sleep on planes?
No.
Oh, my God. It's the only place I can't get any sleep. An airplane? That's the best.
Do I smell like wild game?
Do I smell like broken glass and wild animal? No, kid, you smell like Axe body spray. We think that might have been what lured the deer into the bus in the first place.
I can't sleep on a plane because I know that I don't want the whole... I don't want the plane...
Yeah.
Looking to kill me when I start snoring.
Not me. Just the thought of being on a plane right now is making me sleepy. There's something about the hum of the engines.
Fall
it's like,
asleep
I'm
on
out.
A plane, the next thing I know, I'm being tossed out of a plane. All I heard was everyone just yelling, do it.
Do it! Do it! Wait, what the heck's going on here? What? It sure got cold in here. What's going on? Sure is drafty.
Number five.
I could be wrong.
I could be right.
But I think that this is the week I get my Bison Bridge t-shirt in the mail.
Nice.
Yeah. They had a thing at the Bison Bridge website where you could order a t-shirt. And I was like, hell yes, I'll order a t-shirt. I think that's brilliant. This Bison Bridge idea.
What reminded you of that?
Well, we just played Buffalo Soldier from Bob
Marley.
Same
animal.
You're right. You're right. We call bison buffalo because when people got here, they thought it was the same animal. It's not. Buffalo are native to Asia and Africa, not North America. If it's here in North America, then that's a bison. It's a good point. But it's just become so ingrained that we call those animals buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're bison.
Now, there's buffalo carp, but that's not what we're talking about.
It could be, though. What is a buffalo carp?
It's a carp of some type.
Does it taste like buffalo sauce? Does it have like the natural?
No, it doesn't taste like
my goodness.
Yeah, it doesn't taste
this
like
carp is so spicy. Yeah,
originated from the Anchor Bar. No.
That's not bad. So yeah, if I get that shirt this week, I'll have it and then I'll wear it here. And then if you're watching us on the website, you'll be able to see me modeling my sweet new Bison Bridge t-shirt. That's a reason to go to the website and take a look at us as we do the show. The cameras really are going to make a lot more sense when we start having guests in, and we're a couple of weeks away from being able to do that safely. So Fingers are crossed. We are Dave and Darren in the morning. This is Planet 93.9. There is a lawsuit involving MacGyver, the CBS television show MacGyver. You ever watch MacGyver when it was on originally?
No, but I understand the premise.
It's back, and now I haven't seen this remake or reboot or whatever it is, because, frankly, there's one MacGyver, and that was that
guy.
I
tried this MacGyver move, and I lost an arm.
MacGyver was, what was his name, like Richard Dean Anderson? That cat is
He'll
MacGyver.
Be in my dreams tonight.
And frankly, I don't know that I ever watched an entire episode of the old MacGyver, but you're right. It's like, you get the concept. He's a guy who finds himself in weird situations and he's able to put things together and figure out a solution.
I'm going to need to build a bird nest.
Yes.
Now, let me see.
He has
used some sticks and gum.
Uh-huh. With his superb engineering skills and his knowledge of applied physics, he's able to get himself out of any jam. So they did the original show, MacGyver, that was on the air from 85 to 92. Seems like a long time for MacGyver to be on the air, but that was the case. And then they brought it back, MacGyver. That show's been on the air for 5 years already. Does that seem possible?
5 years or five seasons?
Okay, sure.
Because
no, it's been on the air since 2016.
Okay.
Lucas Till is a younger version of Angus Mac MacGyver. So this is like a prequel to the original MacGyver?
We've got young Sheldon,
mm-hmm.
young MacGyver.
Yeah. I think that's a mistake because if we know that MacGyver is older, then there are no stakes. Like, MacGyver can never die in the show. If we know, right, that this is him is being a younger version of MacGyver, MacGyver has a genius-level intellect and a particular ability for adaptation and improvisation. Now, the same has been said about me. Where's my show? He is a resourceful U.S. operative who works for the Phoenix Foundation.
Isn't it called Brood?
I guess I do have a television show. Yeah, yeah.
Boy.
I forgot I had that.
I'm about to cry, baby.
Well,
where's my radio show?
You're on.
Oh, where's my podcast? Oh, where's my TV show? Oh.
Is that how
Where's my comedy troupe?
Is that how I sound? If that's how I sound, I need to reel in some things. Well, here's the thing. There's a lawsuit now. And this lawsuit's been in the courts for a couple of years over whether or not the new MacGyver is a remake or a spinoff. And apparently that matters.
And this is a viewer that's suing?
No. It's two groups filing a lawsuit against CBS over the MacGyver show, the new MacGyver, which I feel silly calling it new if it's been on the air since 2016. Two groups, Hanser Holdings and Arleta Incorporated, filing this lawsuit claiming that they are successors in interest to the major talent agency, which was the packaging agent behind the original MacGyver series. Packaging. This is something that they've been fighting about in Hollywood for some time. The major talent agency got some kind of third-party stake in the original MacGyver back in 1984, as well as each series produced as part of that same deal. So they're saying, well, this is a spinoff of our original series, so you owe us a taste. Where's our MacGyver money? These people that haven't had anything to do with MacGyver since 1984 are saying, if you want to, you know, do a MacGyver, that's fine, but we should get a taste of that because we got a taste of the original. Now, CBS's argument is, we've never had any sort of deal with you. We've never even heard of you. Until you filed this lawsuit, nobody knew who you were. And the idea that you're presenting, that you would get a taste of this as a continuing series, is not the case, because this is a remake. This is not a continuation, it's a remake. So if they can prove in court, the original stakeholders here, if the deal that they have is some sort of deal in perpetuity, and anytime anybody does something MacGyver, they get a taste, well, then they'll get a taste. But now what this means is they're going to have to really pay attention to all of these agencies and networks and streaming platforms. They're going to have to be very careful about the language they use mm-hmm. when they're using an intellectual property that's already been used. A remake and a reboot and a revival and a spinoff are very different terms.
So I understand you've got some jury duty. So what's the deal? Yeah, I got the MacGyver trial.
That sounds exciting.
I sleep through most of it. It's whatever everybody wants to go with, I'm fine.
And that goes for lunch as well.
Uh-huh.
It's none of my business. You were supposed to take notes.
I'm considering a mistrial just for the sandwiches.
Well, if there's a mistrial, you don't stay on the
jury.
Oh,
I don't get to come back?
No.
Oh.
You don't want a mistrial.
Okay, well then a hung jury.
Just for the sandwiches. We're a hung jury. We're willing to come back and do this all over again.
I thought they'd ask me back, being that I did such a good job.
No, that's not how any of this works.
Just because you have sunglasses on doesn't mean we can't tell that you're sleeping.
I was just resting my eyes.
You brought a neck pillow. And a fan.
Yes, I find the white noise soothing. Drown out all this MacGyver nonsense.
You brought a portable white noise machine.
Yeah, well, I all this MacGyver nonsense, it's keeping me up.
I never saw the show.
I don't know anything about any of it. Your Honor, keep me out of it. This is none of my business. My name is Paul, and this is between y'all.
Did they say something about a break for lunch?
What are we doing? Quick Witch? Jersey Mike's? What's good today?
What is today?
Taco Tuesday? What's up? I've just been writing here on my notepad things I'd like for lunch.
Whatever's left over, they let you take it home. Sitting there in the jury box, asleep, with Tupperware around your neck.
To bring home the leftovers? Tell you what, letting food go to waste, that's the real crime. Am I right, Your Honor?
Sidebar.
You don't get to call a sidebar. You're a juror. Your Honor, if it please the court, these ketchup packets, what happens after we leave the room? Well, the bailiff disposes them. Would it be okay if I just put them in my satchel? I have a ketchup satchel that I brought here. I know we're not supposed to talk to the media or go online, but I would like that ketchup, Your Honor.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, liking, reviewing, and listening. You sure do a lot for us, and we certainly do appreciate it.
This podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. And medicinal marijuana is available at the Mylan store. And now you can also order that online, medicinal marijuana at the Mylan store. You just go to the website, and that is ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do another one of these Top 5 Thing podcasts for you, thanks for listening. Hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent the
this is for the Quad Cities repping spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.